Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
An electrical outlet, cord, and lamp in some ways might make a more accessible connection for us today, especially in East Texas, where other than Harleton's Enoch Stomp, I am not aware of any vineyards. But nevertheless, in today's gospel reading, our Lord Jesus Christ uses a vine, branches, and fruit to illustrate the intimate and necessary relationship that he has with his disciples, who ultimately glorify his Father. With a rich Old Testament context, Jesus in the gospel reading identifies himself as the true vine, his Father as the vine dresser, his disciples as the branches, and their petitions, formed by his words abiding in them and done by God, as the fruit they bear. This morning we consider today's gospel reading under the theme, Vine, Branches, and Fruit. We can easily picture the scene of today's gospel reading on the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. Perhaps after drinking the fruit of the vine in the Passover meal turned Lord's Supper, which may have included an ancient prayer referring to the holy vine of David, the Lord's servant. Or perhaps having risen and gone out from the upper room, walking through a vineyard outside of Jerusalem before crossing the brook Kidron and entering the Garden of Gethsemane. Either way, of course, when and where Jesus said the words do not matter as much as what Jesus said about vine, branches, and fruit. Part of what Jesus said about himself as the vine is that there are basically two kinds of branches, those that do not bear fruit and those that do bear fruit. What kind of branch are you? Are you one that does not bear fruit, or one that does bear fruit? Jesus says a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Likewise, neither can you unless you abide in him. For apart from him, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Jesus essentially says that before the Holy Spirit converts us to the Christian faith, our free will has no spiritual power. Apart from Jesus the vine, if we are branches at all, we are fruitless branches, which deserve to be taken away, thrown away, wither, be gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. As the vine's branches, our lack of fruit, or our fruit, shows our inner nature. So, for example, John the Baptizer called those who were coming out to him to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, or else face the judgment of being cut and burned. When we repent, then the judgment we deserve has instead been placed upon the Son of Man, whom the Lord made strong for himself. With the divinely inspired Psalm 80, we can say, "Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." That psalm recounts the Lord's bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt as a vine and planting it in cleared ground. It's taking deep root and filling the land, at least for a time, until it turned against the Lord and became a corrupt, wild vine, a false vine in relationship to the Father. So the Lord broke down the vineyard's walls, passers-by plucked its fruit. The boar from the forest ravaged it, and all that moved in the field fed on it. It was cut and burned. But when the people repented and called on the Lord, he had regard for the vine, the stock that his right hand had planted, the son whom he had made strong for himself. When we repent and call on the Lord, he has regard for us and forgives all our sins for Jesus' sake. Against such a rich Old Testament context, Jesus identifies himself as the true vine in relationship to his Father. The Son of God and of man, Jesus is the nation of Israel reduced to one. But instead of being rebellious, he was obedient. Where we fail to keep the law, Jesus kept it perfectly. And Jesus made up for our failure to keep the law with his death on the cross for us. In today's first reading, we heard Philip interpret for the Ethiopian eunuch part of Isaiah 53, as all Holy Scripture should be interpreted, with Jesus and his death on the cross for us at its center. As John described in today's epistle reading, God revealed his love to us by sending his only Son into the world to be the sacrifice that satisfies God's righteous wrath over our sin, so that we might live through him. And in the gospel reading, Jesus says he is the true vine, essentially the source of our salvation. Some church fathers depicted that true vine as the tree of the cross, but we can say for sure that the word about the cross leads to faith. In the gospel reading, Jesus says his disciples, all except for Judas, who in the end did not remain in the faith, were clean, or perhaps we might say pruned, for the Greek words are related. The disciples were clean because of the word that Jesus had spoken to them. The disciples are to abide in Jesus, and he and his words are to abide in them. Those words are spirit and life. In the first reading, we heard how the reading and preaching of Holy Scripture led to holy baptism, the word connected with water that brings us into Jesus. In a sense, Christ's words through the pastor in individual holy absolution prune or cleanse us anew. And in the word, with the bread and wine and the sacrament of the altar, we abide in Jesus, and he most concretely abides in us with his true body and blood. As Jesus had said earlier in St. John's account, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Early on, church fathers connected Jesus' gospel reading words with the sacrament of the altar, not only because of the occasion that they were spoken, but also because of their meaning. Intimately connected in a living relationship with our Lord and with one another, and sustained with his forgiveness, life, and salvation through our Lord's word and sacraments, we branches of the vine bear fruit. And continuously pruned or cleansed, for in this life we remain sinful by nature, we bear even more fruit, so that in the end we bear much fruit. Even in our great weakness, we Christians are comforted as we realize even a little internal longing for grace, which longing God has not only begun in us, but which he also continues to support and will preserve until the end. In the Holy Gospel reading, Jesus seems to say that our petitions, formed by his words abiding in us and done by God, are the fruit that we bear, fruit that proves us to be his disciples and glorifies the Father. Such God-produced good deeds lead others to glorify God. The church's one divinely assigned task is to be built up in faith and love, embracing more and more of fallen humankind, to the praise and glory of God by distributing forgiveness, life, and salvation through the Lord's word and sacraments. Even as our congregation's numbers might be decreased, as they were yesterday with Danny's transfer to the church triumphant, every new convert increases the count of the whole Christian church. Whoever hears Jesus' word and believes does not come into judgment, but passes from death to eternal life. An electrical cord, outlet, and lamp in some ways might have been more accessible as a connection for us, but the Holy Spirit has graciously helped us understand what Jesus in the gospel reading said about the vine, branches, and fruit. And by the Holy Spirit's leading, we pray, as we will sing in the first distribution hymn, Vine, keep what I was meant to be, your branch with your rich life in me. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.